The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord. During the second and third Sundays of Advent, the personality or the person of John the Baptist is at the center, the one bringing us the message of repentance, which is also the highlight of the whole Advent season. And as John is introduced today by Luke in the Gospel, he first introduced the leading rulers of his time, the leading civil and as well as religious rulers of his time. We were told that when John the Baptist started to preach the message of repentance in preparation for the ministry of Jesus, it was Tiberius Caesar who was the emperor of the Roman Empire. And his representative in the region of Judea was Pontius Pilate. And Herod the Great was already dead during that time. So Herod the Great divided his kingdom among his three sons. We heard that in the Gospel today. Herod, the son of Herod the Great, was the tetrarch of Galilee. And his brother Philip, it was the tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis. And Lysanias was tetrarch of Babylon. You know, this is one of those, like, these names, how to pronounce them. It's like, what was the purpose of this? And the purpose of Luke is to tell us that there was indeed a John the Baptist. Because we can always trace it at a very accurate historical data with the mentioning of these rulers. And also, if you look at the background of these rulers, they were brutal to their citizens. They were not nice people. They were oppressive, and there were so many corruptions, including among the religious rulers of his time, Annas and Caiaphas. There was a lot of corruption in the temple. It is in this very oppressive background that John the Baptist proclaimed the message of freedom and liberation, proclaimed the message of repentance. The people were suffering And the people were asking, until when are we going to deal with these leaders? And John the Baptist says, don't worry, the Messiah is about to come. He will inaugurate soon his kingdom. It was actually a message of hope, as well as a message of repentance. Because John the Baptist was saying, okay, if you're anticipating the Messiah, our preparation is not building an army behind him, but the preparation for the coming of this Messiah is a clean heart, a renewed spirit, a transformed mind and heart. And this is even heightened, in the first reading today from the book of Baruch. You know, we don't get Baruch all the time in the scriptures. We don't, you know, I don't know with you guys, but with me, if I'm going to meditate on the scriptures, Baruch would probably come last. It's like, okay, let's meditate on the scriptures. Let's go to Baruch. You know, it doesn't happen to me. But Baruch actually had very powerful message when it comes to reclaiming that joy, reclaiming our own identity as sons and daughters of God. Who was Baruch? Baruch actually was the secretary of the prophet Jeremiah. And Baruch was with the people of Israel when they were sent to exile to Babylon. And when did this happen? When was the sack of Jerusalem happened? 587 BC. 587 BC, and they were in Babylon in exile for almost 50 years. And when Cyrus, the king of Persia, defeated the Babylonians, Cyrus was saying, okay, Israelites, you can now go back to Israel. And when that was proclaimed, Baruch wrote these words in the first reading today. Jerusalem, take off your robe of mourning and misery. I know you have been suffering because they sent us all to exile. We were stripped of our own identity. We were not able to worship freely. But now, rejoice because we're going back to our homeland. The Israelites and the prophet Baruch knew what oppression was. They lived it firsthand. So this is in this ambience of oppression in different levels that the message of the readings today breaks open to us, asking us, yes, there are societal and structural oppressions that probably we face as a society, but a greater and personal question that God is asking you right now is, what oppresses you today? What is the cause of your mourning and misery? As I was reflecting on the first reading today, Jerusalem, take off your robe of mourning and misery. What keeps me mourning or miserable right now? Am I mourning? Am I miserable? And the image of a robe is quite powerful. Take off your robe. What is a robe? You know, a robe is something that we put on our, you know, it's like an embrace. It encloses you. It encloses not your back, but most of the time, robe encloses your being. So, the second Sunday of Advent, as we prepare for that Gaudete Sunday, next Sunday, the Sunday of joy and rejoicing, Baruch is telling us, You know, we better take off that robe of mourning and misery right now and put on the splendor of glory from God forever. What oppresses you right now? And what oppresses us sometimes are things that we get so comfortable with. That is why John the Baptist in the gospel today, is asking us to embrace the path of conversion. And how do we do that? He says, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low. What does the mountain or hill stand for? Mountain is normally like high. It represents our pride, our arrogance. And what about this? The winding roads shall be made straight. What are these winding roads signify that we need to make straight? Winding roads are normally precarious, dangerous. It makes you dizzy. These are the negative emotions that makes us depressed, that makes us lose hope, that makes us, that we find ourselves in despair. And John the Baptist says, make those winding roads straight. And how do we do this? By embracing the path of repentance. You know, I've said this year after year, that the word repentance, the word repentance in Greek is metanoia, right? Metanoia, you're probably like, here he is again of this. Metanoia. And what is metanoia? It comes from the two words, meta and noia. Meta means change, a radical change. Noia comes from the word nous, which means mind. To repent is just not just to feel sorry. To repent means an active and dynamic transformation or change of mind. Because I can be sorry for the things that I have done. It's like, oh, I'm sorry that I did this, but it doesn't mean that I have to do anything about it. Some people say, oh, I know, I know, right? That's not good, but that's who I am. I can do anything about it. Or some people say, I am really unhappy in this marriage. I feel stuck in this marriage. But we've been together for so long, there's nothing much that I can do. You recognize that there is a problem, but there is no courage and determination to transform whatever the difficult or the challenging situation into an occasion of joy and transformation. That is why John the Baptist says here, change your skyline, change your landscape. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The landscape should be changing. It's not the same environment as before. What oppresses you right now in your life? What makes you mourning? And do you have the courage and the strength to transform those into an occasion of joy, just like the message of the prophet Baruch to the people of Israelites in exile? You know, to be stuck in misery is to be in exile. You know why? Because God does not want you to be there. It's not your permanent home. Sin is not our permanent home. God's embrace is our permanent home. God's love is our permanent home. Heaven and eternal life is our permanent home. The opening prayer today reinforces the message all the more. You know, the great things about the prayers at Mass for Advent is that, you know, they're not just like appetizers. They're like meal, like main course for you guys and for me. It's like you can just devour on it and just like, okay, I'm full. I don't have to do, you know, he doesn't have to preach. Just with the opening prayer, it's sufficient. Just listen to the opening prayer again. Almighty and merciful God, may no earthly undertaking hinder those who set out in haste to meet your Son. But may our learning of heavenly wisdom gain us admittance to His company. You know, most of the things that I find myself in exile are the things that I pursue because they are not God's will for me. This earthly undertaking, there's so many earthly undertakings, I could just enumerate them in my head right now. And the question is, you know, this earthly undertaking are putting me in exile. I mean, they're not necessarily like, it's like, what is he talking about? They're not necessarily like grievous sins, you know, but things that reroute me, put me in a different direction, away from the love and mercy of God. What are your earthly undertakings right now that bring you to your own version of your own exile? That lead us away from meeting Jesus in haste? Let us ask for the courage and the strength to be single-minded in our Advent journey this year, so that we truly experience the authentic joy that our hearts long for.